Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking you on a journey back right into the thick of the Vietnam War. We're focusing on a pretty critical time late in the conflict, and specifically the really unique story of an A-1 Skyraider pilot, Tom Coleman. Our insights are pulled straight from his interview that's episode 74 of Military Tales, plus, you know, a bunch of other supporting stuff that helps paint the picture.
Yeah, our mission today is really to get under the skin of combat aviation back then through Coleman's own experiences. We're going to look closely at the world of night missions, incredibly challenging stuff, and get a feel for just how versatile the A-1 Skyraider was. I mean, this plane could seemingly do it all, right? Ground support, rescues,
yes. Everything.
Understanding its roles, its capabilities. It's key to seeing how the air war worked, especially in those really tough areas. What jumps out at you about a plane needing to be that adaptable?
That's a great point. So a lot about the machine, sure, but also the pilots flying them. We'll get into Tom's specific time over there, his squadron, why his base was so important, and just the sheer range of missions they flew. And yeah, we'll even give you a taste of what it was like, you know, inside the cockpit during one of those hairy night attacks over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It's quite a story. Okay, so let's set the scene for Tom Coleman. He arrived in Southeast Asia as a second lieutenant, October 1969. The war was, deeply dug in by then, and things were changing fast. He actually made first lieutenant just a couple of months later, and his tour ran through August 1970.
Right, that 10-month stretch, late 69 to mid-70. That was a really intense time for air ops, especially over Laos and parts of North Vietnam. And during that time, Coleman was stationed at Nakhon Phanom, NKP, everyone called it, over in Thailand. NKT wasn't just some random base. It was really a crucial hub for the Air Force. Became a focal point for some of the most dangerous missions.
Yeah, and when you look at NKP, you see why. It was a major hub. It had not one, but three A-1 squadrons based there.
Mm-hmm.
There was the 1st, the 22nd, and Coleman's own unit, the 62nd Special Operations Squadron. And what's interesting is how NKP became this collection point for A-1s. After the 6th Fighter Squadron down at Pleiku shut down, they basically moved most of the A-1s to NKP. That wasn't just housekeeping. It was strategic, centralizing those assets for the kind of support that was becoming vital.
Precisely. And the location itself, NKP's spot, that was no accident. It was a calculated choice right there on the banks of the Mekong River.
Right.
That put them incredibly close to the action. We're talking, about 90 nautical miles from the Ho Chi Minh Trail's core, that supply line, and maybe 200 miles into North Vietnam itself. So it really functioned as a forward operating base. For pilots like Coleman, that meant less flying time just to get there, more time over the target, and just this constant pressure operating right on the edge.
Okay, so beyond the when and where, what really defines Coleman's story and the kind of air war he was fighting is the plane itself, the A-1 Skyraider. He called it like a Swiss Army knife of airplanes, which is just, perfect, isn't it? An aircraft that did pretty much everything, adapting all the time.
It really was amazing. You had these faster jets getting the headlines, but the Skyraider, this prop-driven single-seater, it was just incredibly tough and adaptable, designed back in World War II, if you can believe it, and still flying effectively in the jet age, which let it handle this huge range of jobs, like close air support, getting ordnance down really close to friendly troops, helicopter escort, protecting the choppers, interdiction runs over the trail, hitting trucks, disrupting supplies, and of course, search and rescue SAR. That became a huge part of its identity. Plus covering spec ops teams in Laos. Very risky clandestine stuff. And that piston engine, you know, compared to a jet, it gave it amazing later time. It could hang around for hours, which was a massive advantage.
And it's interesting how its job changed over time. By the early 70s, when Coleman was there, while it had done all those things earlier, its main focus had really shifted almost entirely to search and rescue. The sources say other missions were sort of run out. That shows how priorities were changing as the war dragged on. The need to get downed air crew back became, paramount. It wasn't that the A-1 couldn't do the other stuff, just that SAR was the priority.
Right, and that shift leads us straight into another key part of Coleman's time. Night missions, which makes you ask, okay, why were night ops so important? And what was it actually like for these pilots? Remember, this is before the kind of advanced night vision gear we have today. Flying in the dark was just part of a much bigger danger.
Yeah, exactly. The Ho Chi Minh Trail, that critical supply line for the North Vietnamese, snaked about 700 miles through dense jungle. And here's the thing. It operated almost entirely at night. A deliberate choice, obviously, to avoid daytime bombing.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking a huge, organized network, maybe 3,000 trucks moving stuff along it day and night. Imagine that scale, under the cover of darkness. It wasn't just one track. It was this complex web of routes, hidden spots, always changing.
And that's where the danger just ramps up. enemy forces along the trail, they were actually really good at monitoring U.S. radios, listening in. They had this system, kind of simple but effective, using red and green lights along the trail, use them to warn truck drivers about incoming planes, tell them to take cover, signal danger. So pilots like Coleman weren't just flying blind in the dark. They were flying into an area where the enemy knew they were coming, roughly where they were, and was ready. They were dealing with finding targets, sure, but also constant anti-aircraft fire and just the mental strain of knowing you're flying into a potential trap. A real cat and mouse game in the dark.
It really hits home when you hear it directly. Coleman's interview from that Military Tales episode, it gives you this raw snapshot. Just the communication needed for those night attacks. He mentions hearing something like, Charlie just made a pass in there. I put it a little closer than those trees. Let me come around with a three, and I'll put it on those trees. Roger that. Just think about that. A little closer than those trees. In the pitch black. Relying on skill, instruments, maybe just instinct. And that calm, roger that. It seems almost surreal, given the situation. Dodging flak, darkness, pulling G's, trying to hit a moving target that's trying to evade or shoot back. It wasn't just flying. It was like performing surgery from the air in the middle of a fight with lives on the line every single second.
And as the war went on, SAR, search and rescue, it just became more and more critical, especially for the A1 guys like Coleman. It really taps into this core military belief, almost a sacred duty, the moral imperative to rescue downed personnel, whatever it takes. It's baked into their culture. You hear others may live, the whole no man left behind idea. That wasn't just a slogan, it was a deep commitment driving unbelievable bravery. Every rescue was this high-stakes effort.
And for those SAR missions, the A1's payload, its ordnance, was specifically chosen. Back to that Swiss Army knife idea. It wasn't about just dropping huge bombs. They carried four 20-millimeter cannons, 200 rounds each, giving about 10 seconds of intense fire. Great for suppressing threats right near a downed pilot. They also had a 7.62-millimeter Gatling gun. Very effective for suppression, but also just the sound of it could keep enemy heads down. Plus rocket pods, different sizes for area denial or hitting specific points. But crucially, the Sandy load, that's the SAR loadout, it didn't usually include bombs or napalm. The whole point was precision, close-in support. Carefully chosen to avoid hurting the survivor while still dealing with the enemy threat. A really fine line to walk.
Exactly. The dedication was absolute. It showed the bond between flyers. The aim was simple. Do whatever was required to pull people out, even when the enemy was right there. And they knew the enemy sometimes set traps, using downed pilots as bait. Horrifying thought. But despite that incredible danger, the records show a really high success rate. Something like 85 to 90% of survivors on the ground were eventually rescued. That number, it speaks volumes about the skill, the bravery, the commitment of those A1 crews. You can only imagine the relief after every successful rescue. It really was about bringing their own back home.
So wrapping this up, what does Tom Coleman's story and others like it from episode 74 and other sources tell us? It really highlights the character of these Vietnam veterans, doesn't it? It brings their experiences into focus.
Absolutely. Coleman's experience is a perfect example of the courage, the dedication you see so often. These guys faced up. Unimaginable fear, flew incredibly dangerous missions day after day, night after night. Yet they showed such high skill, such professionalism. His story, like so many others, underlines that intense camaraderie, that band of brothers feeling. That wasn't just talk. It was essential for survival, trusting the guy next to you implicitly. And it also reminds us of the lasting impact of it all. The losses they carried, the quiet strength they showed. The mental toughness required is just staggering.
And it feels so important to share these stories. You often find this real humility with these veterans. They see themselves as just ordinary people who did extraordinary things because they had to. Preserving these histories is vital. That saying, when an old man dies, a library burns. It's so true. Coleman's memories, the details of those flights, the bonds, that's a whole library of experience right there. We need to make sure those libraries stay open or shared so we can all appreciate what they went through. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Tom Coleman's world and the amazing A1 Skyraider. Hope you found it insightful.
Yeah, and as we think about this adaptability, this specialized skill forged in conflict, what can we take away from that? How do these often unseen contributions shape how we see history, maybe even how we approach challenges today?
What other unique roles or untold stories do you think might be out there just waiting for their turn, maybe closer than you think? Keep exploring, keep asking questions, keep connecting those dots. Until next time on The Deep Dive, stay curious.